Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. The title for this message is The Absolute Need for Forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 14 and 15, but I actually want us to start down at verse 7. As you know, the last couple weeks we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and so I'll read that section, and then we'll pray. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Father in heaven, we thank you for this amazing gift of prayer. We thank you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And Father, there's so much that we have to learn, but we thank you that we have you. We thank you that we have your word. And we just pray, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me as I give this message. I pray that it would be your message, your words for your people. And I pray that we would take it to heart, that we might apply it to our lives and obey you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, out of all the topics that are addressed in the Lord's Prayer, and we looked at them over the past couple weeks, there's only one that our Lord chose to comment on at the end. It's kind of like a little additive. It's this extra commentary, and that is the subject of forgiveness. So if you go back to verse 12, right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, as I just read, it says, "Forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, let me take you back to a question that I asked last week. So if you were here with us, you might remember this. We were dealing with this part of the prayer, and really, it gets right to the heart of the matter. This is kind of the big idea for today, and really, this is a big idea that obviously Jesus wanted to highlight, because this is the only thing that he chose to comment on at the end. And here's the question I asked. I said, if you are a Christian and you are aware of the enormity of your sins, and then also knowing that God forgives you of all your sins, how could you not be forgiving of others? How could you not forgive? Well, one thing to say in response to that question is that many Christians, pardon me, are not aware of the enormity of their sins. They think that for the most part, they're nice people, they're good neighbors, they're upstanding citizens, and they think that God is pleased with them, at least for the most part. In other words, they don't comprehend their sin. They don't understand that all their righteousness is as filthy rags before a holy God. Let me say something that may surprise you. The closer you get to the Lord, the closer that you grow to the Lord, the more aware of your sin you become. We'd almost think that it would be the opposite. The closer you get to God, the better you should feel. But in reality, the closer you get to God, the more God begins to show you your sin. I remember talking to a friend of mine from college. Actually, this was after we had graduated. But she was a pastor's kid. She had grown up in the church. She had been exposed to Christian teaching all of her life. She was a nice girl. She was polite. She was respectful. She was the type of person that would never hurt anyone else. She was what we would call a good girl. Well, I'll never forget what she told me one time when I was visiting with her. She said, "For the first time in my life, I'm beginning to understand that I am a sinner. I'm beginning to see that I'm a sinner." You see, she'd never done anything that was really bad before. Kind of unique. She'd always done what people had told her to do. Everyone thought that she was a good girl. So why would she think any differently? But friends, here's the deal. When you start to grow in your walk with the Lord, when you start to dig into the Bible and expose yourself to the teaching of Scripture, you start to see just what a sinner you are. And God starts to reveal that to you. And so if you're open and you're honest and you're humble, then you're going to see your own sin in a whole new light. Well, that brings me to my first point. Number one, everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. There's not a soul among us who does not need God's forgiveness. Often we tend to think that forgiveness is for all those really bad people out there. The people who commit adultery, the people who get drunk, the people who lie and cheat and steal, the people who are vulgar and swear, those kind of people. But of course, we're not like that. We wouldn't do those things. Well, friends, that's the very thing that Satan would have us to believe. He doesn't want us to see ourselves as we truly are. Satan wants us to be self-righteous. He wants us to pat ourselves on the back. "You don't need forgiveness," he would say. "That's for other people. That's for real sinners." And that's exactly the lie that the scribes and the Pharisees bought into. As we've discovered in previous sermons and previous portions of the Sermon on the Mount, they were hypocrites. They thought themselves to be righteous. They thought that God was pleased with them when, in fact, they were far from God. Their hearts were far from God. Excuse me. It's important to understand that there are two dimensions to forgiveness. The first dimension is what we might call the vertical dimension. It has to do with receiving forgiveness from God. The second is what we might call the horizontal. That concerns receiving forgiveness from one another. Obviously, both of these are important, and both of these are related. Think of what it says in James chapter 1. It says that the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the image of God. Well, what is he saying there? James is saying that it's foolish to think that we can praise God, but with that same mouth, curse people who are made in the image of God. So we see there that the vertical and the horizontal are related. Let me give you another example. You're familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. You'll remember that the prophet Nathan confronted David in his sin after he had committed adultery. And do you know what David said after he finally confessed his sin? Psalm 51:4 tells us, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." He's talking about God there. He's not talking to Bathsheba or Uriah. Well, Uriah was dead. He sinned against a lot of people. Obviously Bathsheba, obviously Uriah, no doubt many more as he tried to cover up his sin. But David knew that sin is not just horizontal. David knew that sin is vertical. In fact, it's primarily vertical. When we sin, we are rebelling against God's word and God's authority. In effect, we're saying, I want to do it my way. I don't want to have any regard for God's command. So David sinned against God only. That's how he thought of it, even though he'd obviously sinned against others. Let me give you one final example, and this comes right from our passage. So this is obviously most directly related. Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then what? Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the horizontal dimension is obviously forgiving others and being forgiven. The vertical dimension is being forgiven by God. All that to say that everyone needs forgiveness. There's not a person here among us who does not need forgiveness. And this is also a reminder that sin is serious. It's very serious. It's costly. It always requires atonement and payment. And apart from Christ, we have no way to deal with our sin. So number one, everyone needs forgiveness. We're all sinners. We desperately need God's forgiveness. Number two, be quick to forgive others. Be quick to forgive. Now let me ask you a question. Why is it that people do not forgive? And here's a related question. Why is it so hard to forgive? Well, think of it this way, and this is maybe oversimplistic because this is a complicated question. It's a big question. But think of it this way. We live in a fallen world that's filled with fallen people. People who are hurting. And all these hurting people, do you know what they do? They hurt other people. And when people get hurt by other people, often it leaves deep wounds. It leaves scars that can be tough to heal. They can literally last a lifetime. And friends, this is especially true when you don't have Christ. And so what happens is people hold on to their pain, to those wounds, and they choose not to forgive. They become bitter. They become angry against the person who hurt them. Sometimes they even try to harm that person in return. It's kind of like, you hurt me, and now I'm going to hurt you in return. I'm going to show you how it feels. But do you know what the Bible says? This is where it always gets convicting. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. What a beautiful verse. It's convicting, but at the same time it's beautiful because I think we all aspire to that. We want that, but yet at the same time, it's so hard to put into practice. So Paul is saying that we're to rid ourselves by the grace of God of all that stuff. All those things that we have against our brother or sister in Christ. We're to rid ourselves of it. And instead, we're to be kind, tender-hearted, and most of all, we are to forgive. Notice the justification that Paul gives for this. We forgive because God in Christ forgave us. And friends, that really says it all. If God in Christ has forgiven us, then we must forgive one another. Maybe you're thinking, easier said than done. And that's true. It can be hard to forgive. I'm not going to try and minimize the sin that someone has committed against you, if it is truly sin. Maybe it's done real damage. Maybe those wounds are fresh and real, and it's hard to forgive. But let me ask you once again, how could we not be forgiving of others? Just think, that unpayable debt has been paid in full by Christ. So how could we not forgive others? In whatever ways that you've been sinned against, it's nothing compared to how God has been sinned against. Friends, we are great sinners, but praise God that we have a great Savior. And like I said earlier, first and foremost, sin is against God. Against you, and you only have I sinned, David said. I think that part of the problem is that we so highly esteem ourselves. We think far too highly of ourselves. And so when someone hurts us or sins against us, we become greatly offended. You see, it's the people who have the highest self-esteem who are the quickest to protect themselves and defend themselves. And there's never been a generation in the history of the world who has thought so highly of themselves as our generation. We're more narcissistic than ever before. So rather than just letting it go and forgiving that person, we become angry, we become bitter and unforgiving. And often we end up sinning against those who have sinned against us. We end up returning evil for evil. But the Bible says that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We're to think of ourselves with sober judgment. Just look at your own heart. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you've sinned against other people. And that in itself should make us more gracious with others. Friends, God has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. First and foremost, we must be reconciled to the Creator God. That's the vertical dimension. Then we must be reconciled to one another. That's the horizontal dimension. And beloved, this is something that should mark us as Christians. We should be known for this. This is something that should cause us to stand out. The church should be a place where reconciliation actually happens, where people confess their sin to one another, where people ask for forgiveness, where they make up and move on. I mean, where else does that actually happen in this world? Nowhere. It doesn't happen. And that's why the world is such a mess. So number two, be quick to forgive others and be slow to become angry and get offended. Number three, there's no limit on forgiveness. No limit at all. I want to take you to Scripture. Actually, it's in Matthew's Gospel. And I want us to look at a parable. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. This is often called the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it begins with a question. Peter asks a question. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some translations are 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. In other words, that's unpayable. I mean, it's kind of like a lifetime of work. Verse 25, "And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And that was around, I think, 3 months' wages. So it was substantial, but nothing compared to 10,000 talents. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They knew that this was wrong. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. Friends, sometimes we tend to justify unforgiveness and bitterness. We intuitively think, well, if it's a small sin, I can forgive that. But then we think of our own situation, we think of times where people have sinned against us, and we justify it. We say, they really hurt me. This is not small, this is painful. I can't forgive them. That's what we think. So instead of releasing them and forgiving them, we hold on to it, and our hearts become bitter towards those who sin against us. And in all reality, it's us who suffer the most. On the other hand, when you forgive someone, it's the most freeing thing in the world. No longer are you burdened by it. You don't carry that weight of unforgiveness in your heart. It's wonderful. And it's exactly what Jesus taught us to do. But when you carry it around, you are the one that suffers. And friends, I've known people that have held on to things for years and years and maybe even decades. And that's not a fun place to be. Rather than releasing that person, whatever they did, they choose to hold on to it. They choose not to forgive. What a terrible place to be. A terrible way to live. Because you become a slave. You're held hostage by your bitterness and your unforgiving heart. And if that's where you're at right now, then you need to pray to God. And you need to ask Him to change your heart, to heal your heart. And when He does, you will experience the power of forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness. Friends, some of you have been sinned against in awful, dreadful ways. Perhaps you were the victim of child abuse. And there's a whole catalog of sins. That's just one example. Maybe you've carried the wounds and the scars with you for a very long time. But I'm here today to tell you that you can forgive. You can forgive. No matter how bad the sin, no matter what that person has done to you, no matter how many times you were sinned against, you can forgive. And the reason we can forgive is because of what Christ has done for us. And just think of Jesus' answer to Peter's question. How many times should I forgive? Well, essentially, Jesus puts no limits on forgiveness. So we can forgive because of what Christ has done on our behalf. He took the nails. He paid the penalty. And by His wounds, we are healed. Let me take you back to that verse we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So Paul and the scriptures, they always take us back to Christ. You see, dear friends, Christ is our example. He's our model. We love because He first loved us. We serve because He made Himself nothing. The Bible says He took the form of a servant. We pray because Jesus constantly modeled that life of prayer. And so we could go on, but how much more true, how much more so, I should say, is that when it comes to forgiveness? We forgive because God in Christ forgave us. So just to summarize, Scripture gives us no limits on forgiveness. Now that's not to say we minimize sin or downplay it in any way. If someone has sinned against you, well then, that was wrong. That was not pleasing in the sight of God. But it is to say that we forgive them. We move on with life. We leave it in the Lord's hands. Think of what it says in Romans chapter 12, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." But vengeance is not ours. That's not our place. Let's look at number 4. And this is the sad reality. Some people choose not to forgive. Many people choose not to forgive. There are some of you here this morning, and you're living in that place of unforgiveness. You've been there a long time, and sadly, you have no intention of leaving. You don't see it as being a problem. In fact, you think you're justified in being there. But go back to our passage. Go back to God's Word. If you do not forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father or my Heavenly Father forgive you. Incidentally, this is not the only place where Jesus offers this warning. And we think of, I mentioned this a few weeks back, we always let Scripture interpret Scripture. So if it says it in one place, then we should expect to find the same thing in other places in Scripture. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Now think about that. That's pretty broad. That's pretty general. Anyone against anything. That doesn't allow any wiggle room at all. So if you have anything against anyone, then you need to forgive them. And if you choose to be unforgiving, it's going to cost you the kingdom. Think of what it says in Matthew 18:35. This is right at the end of the parable we read. The last verse of that parable of the unforgiving servant, it gives us this warning. If you do not forgive from the heart, God is going to order you to pay the debt that you owe to Him. And friends, it's an unpayable debt. It really is. The only way that you can pay for that debt is in hell. I find it so tragic and sad that some people choose not to forgive. Anytime that we have to forgive someone of wrong that they've done to us, it can be tough. But again, it is possible. And it's possible because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Friends, will you choose to forgive? Will you choose to follow the example of Christ? Forgiveness is wonderful. It's powerful. It's liberating. And it is possible because of Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us. Well, my last point is one that we've already touched on. It's one that we're going to continue to touch on. And that is this. This is the greatest news in the world. God forgives. God forgives. And in the remaining moments that we have, I want to take you through the Scriptures. Actually, we could look at a lot of places, but I want to take you to two or three passages, two or three verses, and you see the same thing. Scripture is consistent. Scripture is coherent. And what we find is the same in the Old Testament, it's the same in the New Testament. That is a God who forgives. A God who loves, a God who is compassionate, a God who forgives. Who could forget the words of Jesus when he was dying on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As I said, there's many other places, but turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 103. And I want to read verses 8 to 14. This is almost the gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel according to David. Listen to these words, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 103, starting at verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Friends, we could say a lot of things. I could say a lot of things about that passage. But don't we see the message of forgiveness? A God who does not count our sins and our iniquities and our trespasses against us. Instead, he forgives. What a powerful message, a beautiful message. And then turn to the New Testament, to 1 John chapter 1. I want to read verses 7 to 10. And here we see, undeniably, that we are sinners. There's no denying our sins. But at the same time, we have a great Savior. We have a God who forgives us. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Once again, we see the same thing. A God who forgives. And friends, if only we would confess our sins. The Bible says that we're to confess our sins one to another. But we also, we go directly to our great high priest. We find healing through him. But we must first confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. Friends, this is the greatest news that you will ever hear in your lifetime. God forgives. And God forgives us in and through Christ. But we also have to remember this solemn warning that if we don't forgive one another from the heart, then God the Father will not forgive us. Friends, may we look to Christ. May we look to Christ in faith. He'll never let you down. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And Father, in many ways, this message is convicting. Father, you never said that it would be easy. Never once did you say that it would be easy. But you did tell us in your word over and over that you will give us the grace that we need. And Father, I just pray that if we're holding anything against anyone, that you would give us the grace that we need to forgive and to release that burden of unforgiveness and to release that person, whatever they've done to us. We thank you that you have forgiven us through Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice and how it paid the penalty for our sin. May we look to you. May we look to Christ. We thank you and praise you once again. Amen.